to the Friday night inner space talk. The talk this evening is coping and channeling frustration. And our speaker is joining us from Turkey. Yogesh Sharda lives in Istanbul, and for over 20 years, he has worked as a personal development trainer in and around Turkey for businesses, hospitals, universities, as well as local community groups. He's widely traveled and is also authored a number of CDs exploring spirituality. So we've asked Yogesh to explore this concept of frustration when the internet goes down, when you're not understood, when you're stuck in a queue, add your list of frustrations. But how is it? Is there a way of coping with our frustrations without hurting ourselves and other people around us, taking our frustration out on others? Is it possible to build frustration tolerance? If so, how? And is frustration ever helpful? These are some of the things we're asking Yogesh to share with us tonight. After his talk, Yogesh is going to do a short meditation for 3 minutes, and then he'll be taking your questions. So if you send your questions in via the question and answer link, I will pose those questions to Yogesh on your behalf. Yogesh, over to you. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Aarti, and hello, good evening, everyone. So this topic we're exploring tonight about frustration. And frustration, I would say, is part of the family of anger, the emotion of anger, which manifests in various forms. And I think it's so important to explore these topics connected to our inner world. We all have two lives in a way. There is our outer life of academic life and career and family and so on. But then also there is the inner life of our thoughts, our emotions, our beliefs, our perceptions. And most people give more importance, more attention to their outer life and less to the inner life. And partly due to this imbalance, we have the stresses and strains that we have in the world today. We find it difficult to access and to, in fact, nourish the essential human qualities which make life more pleasant, such as, for example, tolerance and understanding, patience, forgiveness. How often do we hear it said, well, you don't understand me, or I cannot tolerate X, Y, and Z? But why is that? Why is it we may not have the strength to do those things? And so we're going to explore a little bit what is happening within our own minds. And I like to quote the Greek philosopher Aristotle, who said that the beginning of all wisdom is to know the self. And so if we wish anything to improve in our lives, it does start by knowing and understanding our own selves. Now, one of the things to be aware of is that the whole of our experience of life is very much connected with how we are choosing to use our mind. And I would say in this regard that just as sports is a mind game, as we were chatting earlier, especially individual sports like tennis, it's a question of rehearsing, practicing in your mind and then reproducing on the court. Business is a mind game. Politics is a mind game. In fact, the whole of life is a mind game. And if I know how to take care of my mind, respect my mind, and honor my mind, then life is less able to stress me or to cause me to experience frustrations. Think, for example, of the machines that we all use today. And perhaps the most common and important machine in most people's lives is their gadget, their mobile phone. And of course, it's more than just a phone. It does many, many functions. And for some people, it's an indispensable part of their lives. Some may even choose to lose a kidney than to lose their mobile phone. But we also know that every few months, or sometimes it seems every few weeks, a smarter version of the phone comes out, which can do 3, 5, 7 things more than the previous version. So if technology can be upgraded, if science can be upgraded, then what about us? Can I be a better version of myself? What would you be like, version 2.0? And one of the things you may say is, I would have better control over my emotions and be able to handle situations better without falling into frustration or anger. So let's explore a bit more closely. And I start with also sharing a couple of experiences of my own when I was thinking about what to share tonight. I thought of two particular experiences of frustration, simple experiences, simple examples. But what helped me to overcome that frustration? So when I was first here, when I first moved to Istanbul, then of course I was not used to being translated when I was giving a talk or a seminar. And having come from Oxford, where I was based, so I would speak at my normal speed. And the translator who was sitting next to me translating, and it would be an alternate translation. I'd speak a few sentences and then she'd translate that. So she would, you know, very often keep asking me, sorry, can you say that again? Or I didn't catch that. And sometimes would be quite slow in the translation. So at times I would feel a bit frustrated that, you know, can't she be quicker? Or why does she keep forgetting? But then I reminded myself that Yogesh, this is not her first language. English is not her first language. And she's not a professional translator. And so that information, when I placed that in my mind, when I reminded myself of that, it redirected the attention of my mind away from, why is she taking so long? Why doesn't she remember? And instead of thinking that, I would channel it to something more constructive. And I think this is a big method, a big solution in how to manage all of our negative emotional energies, is redirect into a constructive and positive direction. But to do that, one needs knowledge and understanding. And that's the purpose of knowledge and understanding. Shift the direction of my thinking. Let the attention of my mind go in another direction. Another simple example. I remember once when I was in London, I was asked to give a talk somewhere in central London. And I was running a little bit late and I was going by tube. And I remember coming out of the tube and it was about maybe a half mile walk to the hall where the talk was to be. So I was rushing and rushing past people on the pavement. And at one particular point, the pavement was very narrow for about maybe 20 meters. And there was an old lady walking in front of me and lots of traffic rushing by in the road next to the pavement. So I was, you know, wanting to get past her and couldn't do so because the pavement was narrow, and also feeling frustrated. Can't she go a bit quicker? And I need to get to the hall. But then the thought came, no, Yogesh, she's an old lady. She can't go any faster. This is as much as she can do. And so when that thought came, then I accepted this is how the situation is. And let me re-channel, redirect the energy of my mind. And so, for example, for those 20 meters or so, instead I started thinking, okay, what am I going to say in the talk? Let me just mentally revise the points I'm going to share. And so therefore, I was channeling my energy towards something constructive and useful. And so my emotions changed. Instead of feeling frustrated, I felt more calm. And, you know, when the pavement widened again, I was able to go past her and reach the hall. So those are simple examples, but I think they're also great metaphors for everything in life. And here's an important principle in managing frustration and emotions in general. And that is that today I may not be able to control what life gives to me, but I can absolutely control and choose how I wish to receive that. Now, if my mind is occupied by what life is giving me, which I may not like, then I will generate my own frustration, irritation, anger, and so on. But if rather than that, I focus my mind upon how do I choose to receive this situation, then I'm going to create a very different energy. Let me not condemn what I don't like. Let me not be consumed by what I don't like, but rather let me be concerned by how I wish to receive this. Life is a mind game. If I'm choosing to focus the attention of my mind upon how I wish to receive this and how I wish to respond, then it's game over. Game over in the sense of the game of complaining, blaming, criticizing, becoming angry, feeling frustrated, and so on. Now, there are some, you know, short-term methods to deal with frustration, but then there's also the two long-term methods. Short-term methods include, for example, taking three deep breaths, you know, feeling calm fairly quickly, listening to relaxing music perhaps to make you feel a bit better, going for a walk in nature, or maybe going cycling. There's also, of course, fridge therapy. And I'm sure you understand that. So these are short-term methods to deal with the symptoms. But our interest really is to deal with the causes, that why do we become frustrated in the first place? And for that, there are two main things that we focus on. One I've touched on already, which is choose your attitude towards a situation. As has been often quoted, that the last freedom we all possess is the freedom to choose our attitude in a situation. The situation I may not be able to control. The circumstances may be beyond my control. But my attitude towards the circumstances, that is in my hands. So how can we learn to upgrade that and improve that? I find that broadly speaking, there are three main groups of people in terms of their approach to life. Perhaps the largest group is what I would call as passengers. People who are sitting in the back seat and they allow something called life to be the driver, and they feel they have no control over what's happening in life. That whatever is their lot is their lot. Sometimes life deals you a good pack of cards, on another day, maybe not such a good pack. And they feel there's really nothing much they can do. They're just passengers being pulled through life. Then there's a second group, and I would say these are people who are fighting with life. They are fighters. So when they see or hear something which they don't like or they consider to be a form of injustice, then in their minds, they fight with it, and sometimes also verbally. And so they create this energy of tension, confrontation, or aggression within their mind. And being in the company of such a person, you can just feel those vibes coming off them. It's as though they are in a state of war. And even their face, you know, looks like a war face. So it's like living in a, you know, high state of tension. And we know there are many forms of what we call as injustice today in life, whether it's in our own lives or it's what we see on the world news. But then there's another group, a third group. And I would say that this is the smallest group, and it's a group I think that we are all interested to be in. And that is those who are explorers, not just passengers, not fighting life, but those who want to explore life, those who want to understand why things are the way they are. What is the mechanism by which things happen? And people who have an interest to explore what is underneath life, the mechanism, the machinery, how it's all working, they tend to be less frustrated, less angry. And there are certain words which leave their vocabulary. Words connected with criticizing and complaining and blaming, because they're wanting to see what is the principle at work here. And I find that self-awareness or meditation is very much connected with the interest to explore the principles of life. As we educate ourselves in this level, then we naturally learn how to redirect our thought energy away from what we don't like towards how would I like to respond to this. And this is part of the long-term answer to frustration, is breaking the habit of trying to control life, especially controlling other people. What is the tendency behind frustration? What is the tendency behind anger? It is the tendency to try to control. That is the problem. And controlling means on the mental level. And let's explore control a bit more. And let me just see if I can share this slide with you. Okay, I think you can see this here. So this is a model to show us what you can control and what you cannot control. So as you see here, 0% control here and 100% control at the other end of the continuum. So what kind of things do we have no control over, or little control over, for which we say, this really frustrates me. This really, you know, gets me, what do I say, gets up my nose. This really makes me angry. So here are very common ones in big cities, especially traffic is a big one. And then, of course, politicians, perhaps noise in your office, noise in your house, noise in your street. This one is supposed to be disrespect, a spelling mistake there. And disrespect can come in various forms. Can come in the way people speak to you, how they look at you, and of course also in the traffic. And you may feel frustrated that this person has such little respect for me or for somebody else, and it may give rise to that energy of frustration. Another one we touched on already is injustice, whether it's maybe little things in your personal life or the big ones we see on the world news. Here's another one, irresponsibility. When somebody says they're going to do something and you say, okay, the last minute you realize they're not going to do it, and they didn't tell you they're not going to do it, and then you have to rush to do it yourself. And you say, why didn't you tell me? Why couldn't you tell me earlier? How irresponsible of you. And then another one here is dishonesty, where somebody may be lying to you in your face, and you know that person is lying, and he knows that you know that he's lying, and you know that he knows that you know that he's lying, but the game goes on. The charade continues. So these things happen, but yet we have pretty much zero or very little control over the things which are outside of us. So what can we control 100%, at least potentially? Well, for that, we come to the other side of the continuum. The only thing that we can control potentially 100% are all to do with myself. So that is my response to situations, to people, my attitude towards them, the words which I choose to speak, and eventually even my own thoughts. Now, a person may say, well, I can't control my thoughts, but that's what meditation is all about. So here comes the question, that if I tried to control the things which cannot be controlled, what will I feel? What will I experience? What emotions will my mind generate? And there's the answer: frustration, irritation, anger, stress. So all of these emotions are born in the mind as a result of trying to control that which cannot be controlled. Now, the answer is not to be passive and do nothing, but rather is to shift my desire for control from the outside to the inside. And so, as we were mentioning earlier, let me ask myself, how do I wish to respond to this situation? How do I want to handle this person who has this particular attitude which I may not like? How do I want to deal with XYZ? So let my attention go upon the response rather than the thing which is outside of me. And therefore, channeling this energy of anger or frustration into something very constructive. Now, this is, of course, a long-term solution. Why? Because it asks us to change our attitude or to upgrade our attitude. And yes, it's a long-term solution. It takes attention, but the rewards are enormous. And what I find with people, as I mentioned earlier, who are really working on themselves and become explorers, is they tend to become the owners of their peace of mind and their happiness. Consider this sentence: who owns your happiness? Is my happiness the result of other people's behavior, comments, etc.? Or am I the owner of my own happiness? To be self-aware and to be working on that explorer level means I want to be the owner of my peace of mind and my happiness, and therefore making these shifts in my attitude, my approach towards life, brings that reward of my own inner prosperity. Now, here's a little formula which can just help us to remember this. So there it is, the formula to end all your frustration. E plus R equals O. So what does O stand for? As we see here, it's the outcome of any situation. So there are two kinds of outcomes in our lives. There are those we are pleased with, no problem there. But then also there are outcomes we are not pleased with. So for example, it may be a certain relationship in your life or a situation at your workplace. And the question is, for the outcomes with which you are not pleased, what are you trying to change or control in order to change the outcome? Are you trying to control or change the event? Or are you trying to control or change your response? Both of these have an equal impact upon the outcome. But if I'm trying to control the event, which means the person or the situation outside of me, then hello frustration, hello stress, hello anger. If instead my attention goes to, let me improve, upgrade, empower my response to the situation, notice how your stress and frustration will begin to reduce quite dramatically. It's a little formula which you can remind yourself of fairly easily, and you may even want to put it on those little yellow sticky notes and put them in places where you can see easily. E plus R equals O. Next time you're feeling frustrated in a situation, remind yourself, E plus R equals O. Don't try to control the event, but pay attention to how do I wish to respond. Direct the attention of your mind away from what you don't like to how you wish to respond. So I'm hoping this little tool is something that you can experiment with in your day-to-day life and just see the impact on the outcome when you are choosing to own your response rather than control the event. Now, let me come to one more model to do with changing our attitude. And this is to do with the two things which are connected to our emotions. So first is again to do with events. And events are the things which are outside of us. Every day we pass through the streets and we see so many things happening outside of us. There's not too much you can do about the events outside of you. But there is something we do, and that is with our minds, we give meaning to those events. The event is outside of me, but with my mind, I'm giving meaning to it. And therefore, humans have been described as meaning-making machines. We see billboards, we see things on the news, we see people's facial expressions. And the mind is very, very quickly, instantaneously, we give meaning to that without even realizing we are doing that. Now, why this is important is because the meaning that I give to an event is going to generate my emotions. For example, the emotion of frustration. This is how it works. This is the sequence. Event, meaning, emotion. Event, meaning, emotion. It happens very quickly. We don't even realize we are giving meaning to the event. And because it's happening so quickly, then we live under the illusion that the event is creating my emotions. And we even put it in words. We say things like, you know, I'm so frustrated because of what so-and-so is doing. I'm so upset because of what you said to me yesterday. I'm so worried because of what's going to happen tomorrow. But it's not true. It's not that I'm frustrated because of XYZ. I'm frustrated because of the meaning I am giving to XYZ. It's the meaning which I'm giving that is creating the emotion. I'm not angry because of what you said to me yesterday. I'm angry because of the meaning I'm giving to what you said. I'm not worried because of what's going to happen tomorrow. I'm worried because of the meaning I'm giving to what's going to happen tomorrow. Now, this is both good news for us and also bad news. The bad news is there is no one else to blame for your negative emotions. There's no one else to blame for your frustration, your anger, your irritation. So, sorry about that. We can't blame anyone anymore. But the good news is exactly the same. And that is that the way I feel, my emotional state, is entirely in my own hands if I wish it to be so. Regardless of the event, I can choose the meaning I give to the event, and therefore I generate the emotions I wish to have. Now the question arises, well, what is meaning comprised of? What are the components of meaning? What is behind meaning? Indeed, what is the meaning of meaning? So let me show you now the next slide here. There are three things which make up meaning, but we're just going to look at one of them tonight. And here it is, our perspective. So each one of us is carrying a perspective filter through which we are seeing situations. And this, of course, represents the eye of your mind. So think of the things which, in the context of which you may experience some frustration, somebody's behavior, or some situation maybe to do with your work or even health or finances, whatever it might be. When our perspective is low, if you come to the bottom of this line here, then we see a situation and we make it into a problem for ourselves. And when you see something as a problem, then it may generate those kinds of emotions such as worry, fear, tension, frustration, etc. But if I were to raise my perspective, the same thing now I see not as the problem, but rather as an obstacle. What's the difference there? Now, just to make this brief, when you see something as a problem, you focus upon the thing which is stopping you. why is this here? Why did this happen? Why does she do this? Why don't they X, Y, Z? The whole focus is upon the thing which is stopping you from being happy, for example. When you see the same thing as an obstacle, you focus on yourself. How can I get over this? How can I find a way around this? How can I find a way through this? The whole focus of your attention shifts from the obstacle, the thing which you are seeing, to yourself. And you ask yourself, how can I deal with this? And there you've opened the key to finding the solution to the situation, and therefore your tension and frustration reduces. Now, what kind of solutions are there? And of course, it depends upon the situation at hand. But broadly speaking, I find that pretty much all the solutions to everything in life are centered around virtue. Some kind of virtue I need to deal with a person or a situation. Sometimes it may be tolerance. Sometimes I need courage. Sometimes I need maybe forgiveness. Sometimes I just need to let go. I believe these are the things we really need to work on to empower ourselves mentally, emotionally, spiritually. And as our perspective continues to rise, now the same situation I see as an opportunity. Here's an opportunity for me to apply practically what I am learning. And then again, just to briefly finish this off, now I see the same thing as a test. Now, do we like tests? Usually at school, we don't like tests, but tests are there for us to know, what I've learned, and what I need to pay attention to. Tests are not there to punish us, although sometimes it feels like that. We take our body for a test, which is called a health checkup. We take our car for a, MOT, to see if everything's working okay. So if something is not right, then we fix it. So too, for a person who is self-aware or spiritually aware, you see a situation just testing you to see, how strong am I? How firm is my self-respect? Do I own my dignity? How deep is my patience? How strong is my tolerance? You become aware this is a test for your soul, a test for you spiritually. And therefore, the emotions are very different. Rather than frustration or anger or irritation, you see everything as being meaningful. And eventually the same thing you see as a gift, which means you have gained something, you learned something, you got something which is going to enable you to grow. So that's an example of how, by raising our perspective, we change the meaning we are giving to an event. And since we're changing the meaning, we're changing the emotions as well. And so that's another principle of dealing with frustration. Own the meaning. Do not try to control or own the event. Choose the meaning you wish to give to it. And just in the last couple of minutes, let me touch upon the second thing. I mentioned two main things important in dealing with our emotions. One is attitude, which we discussed. Second is to do with our level of inner strength. So how strong is my mind? And one of the things to pay attention to make ourselves stronger mentally and emotionally and spiritually, is to learn to value our thought energy. Also our verbal energy. But when we think too much, the result is the mind becomes tired. When the mind is tired, patience level goes down, tolerance level goes down, and we find ourselves getting easily irritated and frustrated. So a suggestion would be, can I think more essencefully, and more economically? And can I speak more essencefully and more economically? Can I save the energy of my words and also the energy of my thoughts? And meditation plays a big part in that, because it helps you to feel secure, stable, and safe. When you experience those feelings, necessarily the mind becomes more quiet. We're going to do a meditation in a moment, but just one last little suggestion is also during the day, it helps to try and stop for 3 or 4 minutes, if this is new for you, once mid-morning, once mid-afternoon, maybe 11 o'clock, for example, maybe 3 o'clock, according to your daily schedule. And we call this as traffic control for the mind. If you imagine the thoughts in your mind are like the cars in the road, the question is, how is the traffic up here? Is it orderly? Is it coordinated? Is it flowing? Or is there a big traffic jam in the mind with my thoughts going in all different directions, past, present, future, this, that, the other? Now we know that when there is a traffic jam, then so much time and energy and also fuel is wasted. And one car parked in the wrong place can block 100 other cars. In the same way, one waste thought, one negative thought can block the flow of my creativity, my happiness, my peace of mind. So traffic control for the mind is an invitation just to step back from the doing realm back into the being realm. Just experience being at peace. Your mind becomes clear, calm, collected. And when the mind is calm, then your intellect, your discernment facility, your decision-making facility works very well. So I think I reached the time where now I need to do a little meditation. So we're going to have 3 minutes to do a little silent meditation. Silence means no music, but I will speak a few guiding words. So I'd invite you, if you're comfortable, just to have your back straight. If you're in a chair, your feet flat on the floor. And if you wish, you can have your eyes half open. Some people prefer to have them closed, which you can do. But then, of course, one must be alert not to drift away. So I'll speak out a few simple words. So let me take a few minutes just to step back from the world of doing, the world of sound, the world of motion, the world of action, the world outside of me. And I come to my inner world. This is the world of my thoughts, my feelings, my experiences. It is my thoughts which create my experiences. And I am the creator of my thoughts. I can choose the thoughts I wish to create. And so let me bring my attention up towards my face. And and up to the center of my forehead. And here, I picture a beautiful star of peaceful light. It's a wonderful star of peaceful energy, radiating at the center of the forehead. And from this star, waves of peaceful and healing energy reach every part of my body. This beautiful, radiant star of peaceful light in the center of the forehead. This is me. This is I, the eternal inner being. I am peace. I am light. I am still. I am silent. And I am free. Just be with this feeling of peace in your mind for a moment.
Thank you, Yogesh. That was beautiful. The first question that's come in, I get frustrated with my mind when I try to calm it. How can I be a friend to my mind when I'm so stuck with the feeling of frustration towards it?
Yeah, one thing to understand is that it takes time, you know, for the mind to behave as you wish it to, because it is carrying habits from the past. So, for example, let's take a dog in the street, a street dog. If you wish it to live in your house, it comes in and you say, okay, sit. Is it going to sit? No. Because it's used to doing what it wants, where it wants. It's used to doing, you know, having its own freedom. And so you have to give it house training if you wish it to live in your house. And that takes regularity, it has to be systematic, it has to be, you know, to a certain program. And it's the same with the mind. The mind has these habits of overthinking or negative thinking. And if we wish to get rid of these habits, it takes a systematic practice, I would say, of meditation and also study of self-awareness or spirituality. And I would suggest, if it's new for you, then do three things. One is start the day with some meditation. So before you go out into the day, first go in, engage with yourself first before you engage with life, with people in your house, or even with your mobile phone. Even 3 minutes meditation, a few minutes, visit the peace inside you. That's one thing. Second thing, try to do those traffic controls in the day, because it's in the day the mind races. So one mid-morning, one mid-afternoon. Third thing for disciplining the mind is end the day in the right way. Think of how you close a computer. You wouldn't just yank the plug out of the wall, would you? But you sign off, you log off, you switch off. There are stages involved. The same way, one thing that I always remember is think of the whole of life as a kind of big theater performance. And say to yourself, whatever happened today, something good, something bad, I did something amazing, I did something ridiculous, whatever happened today, for today the curtain is closed. Today's drama is over. Multiply everything by zero and empty the mind of the thoughts of the day, and then go to sleep. So if we implement these practices in our day and we do them regularly, even for 1 week, see how you feel at the end of the day. And I'll just add one more thing, is positive self-talk. Yeah, if you make a mistake, for example, treat the mind like a child. How do you talk to a child? Okay, mind is no big deal. Nothing to get upset about. What can we learn here? Learn a lesson, forget the situation, and move on, carrying the lesson, but not remembering the situation. And I find that if I have actively identified what I can learn, then it's like I'm able to give myself permission to forget my mistake, and even write down what you have learned. And these ways, you know, we keep moving ahead. The mind becomes your friend because you're talking nicely to it. You're paying attention to it.
Thank you. Next question. I suffer from anxiety. I have a nervous temperament. How can I conserve that thought energy when my emotions are in overdrive?
Yeah. I mean, the short answer is, you know, all of the above. What we've been kind of discussing this evening, of why the emotions are in overdrive, where the emotions come from. There are many short-term methods, you know, emotional freedom technique and many others you can find. But our interest, or my interest, is really to get to the roots of things, why those emotions are there, why that anxiety is there. If I were to mention an equation, I wonder if I have the slide of this. Okay, I do have it. Let me see if I can share this quickly. Yeah. So our inner strength is connected to two things. The effort we make, which means the doing good things more, but also by the waste we also produce. And most people pay attention to doing the right thing more in their lives to increase their resilience, but not so much attention to reducing the waste. And as I was mentioning earlier, you know, waste thoughts and waste words make the mind weak. So therefore, we need to pay attention. And, you know, it's easier to start with our words. You can even experiment that. Instead of saying something in 30 words, can I say it in 15 words or 10 words? And you save the energy of your words, which then gathers in the mind. It's this what enables the mind to become stronger. And as the mind becomes stronger, your resilience improves and your ability to handle situations is better. And therefore, anxiety or those nervous emotions will begin to reduce because the resilience of the mind is becoming stronger. So everything is in our own hands, actually, but we just need to learn to respect the mind better. And I'll add just one more thing, is also in the morning, because the morning affects the whole day, it helps to, you know, to read something which nourishes your soul, whatever is useful for you. Even if it starts with 15 minutes or 10 minutes, read something, think about it. Those thoughts actually give energy to the mind. And then through the day, that can be your focus. You know, you may read something about patience or about tolerance or about self-respect. Then just be busy through the day exploring that. Those positive thoughts increase the resilience of your mind, and those negative emotions, anxiety, will begin to reduce.
Thank you. The last slide, could you put it up again? Somebody would like to relook at it.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you.
This one here?
Yes, that's it. Thank you. Just while the person's looking at it, let me give you the next question. How do I stop being a fighter and become an explorer? Please note, I'm an all or nothing type of person.
Well, what I find helps me and also helps many I know is, you know, having a broader and a deeper understanding of life. Of course, it's a huge subject to go into, but if I just give one example, one of the reasons people fight with life is feeling of injustice. And what helps us to deal with that is understanding there are principles at work as a result of which things are happening the way they are happening. For example, why do good things happen to bad people? Why do bad things happen to good people? One of the important principles to understand, and it's been given many names, is the law of cause and effect, the law of action and reaction, the law of choice and consequence, the law of effort and reward, also known as the law of karma. When we understand how that operates, then we know why things are the way they are, even in our own personal lives. And two things happen then. One is we stop fighting and blaming and confronting life. And instead, we begin to know how I can use my energy in the most optimum way to effect positive change, even in our personal lives. So there, I would say that the short answer is there is a need to explore further spirituality and spiritual knowledge to know the nuts and bolts of life, and therefore our perspective would change.
Lovely, thank you. Next question. The person says, I'm an actress, and we used to go and meet people in a room to audition, and I'd always get two or three jobs. But now we have to audition with self-tapes. And so we don't actually get to show who we are. I've done 33 self-tapes and not got one job. I feel sad, worried, frustrated. I'm not sure what to do. I've been an actress for 45 years, and so I feel time is running out. Should I continue to hope?
Yeah. Well, one thing for sure is that, you know, in the last year and a half, life has become digital to a large degree. Certainly in your situation, and for many who have, you know, lost their jobs and their livelihoods. So first thing is to accept we are in a new reality as a result of the current situation. Then with regard to making a decision about having hope or not, again, your intellect is that part of you which is able to discern, to weigh up a situation, and to make the correct decision. And in order for that to work well, the intellect has to be free of emotions, such as maybe anxiety, worry, fear, tension. And there I feel it's coming back to two things I mentioned. One is this morning silence time to nourish the intellect. And two is the studying or reading something positive, meaningful, uplifting. These two things are what makes your intellect strong. And as the intellect is strong and stable, you're able to make a decision as to, yes, I want to going to continue to explore this further, or maybe it's time to do something else. Yeah. Of course, only you can make that decision, and it's your intellect which makes that decision. So my only suggestion is feed the intellect with the power of meditation and silence and with spiritual wisdom in order to know what to do and when to do.
Thank you. The next question, how can you focus easily in front of so many daily frustrations?
Yeah, well, they come in the day and you may not be able to control the things which come in the day. But what you can do is to prepare yourself to be able to handle those things. I find one of the tragedies of big city life nowadays is people don't really know how to value the morning hours. You know, with our gadgets and machines, we immediately engage with our machines and check our messages or check the news. The morning affects the whole day. If I know how to use the morning well, it has an positive impact upon the rest of the day. Now, it is said, is it not, that if someone is having a bad day, she or he may say, you know, I must have got out of the wrong side of the bed this morning. And it's an indication that if the day is going badly, it means it must have started off badly. But the opposite is true as well. If I start the day well, I will be bolstered, I'll be strengthened, I'll be well equipped to handle the challenges and frustrations which come later. So I would say, even, you know, if you can wake up a little earlier to practice your meditation before the day starts, before you get busy with what's happening in the traffic, the news, the weather, you know, even with people in your life, respect the mind first thing in the morning. Notice how your day is very different, and what you previously saw as frustrations, you'll eventually begin to see it as a game. It takes time, but that's the journey. And I just believe that, you know, for all people everywhere, it's time to bring our care for the soul to the very top of our priority list. When that happens, it's the game changer.
Thank you, Yogesh. That's been an amazing, insightful evening for all of us here.